Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
In this special audio cast, we find out if Baltimore City is really the shiitake hole that everybody thinks. So sit back and...
One, two, three!
Listen.
If you're willing to talk, Father Leo is willing to listen. Get ready for a deliciously deep discussion of Shoot the Shiitake with Father Leo.
And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, your host, Father Leo, for a deep dish discussion with Kim Klasik, who is an activist in Baltimore City. You may remember her as the one who put out that video of West Side Baltimore City, but she's more than a political activist because she's not really that at all. She's just an independent journalist seeking the truth, and you're going to find out that Baltimore does have its fair share of problems. I know it because I live in it. But I'm hardly ever home, so it really requires me to look at the local newspaper and to follow people on Twitter who are really caring about the city, like Kim Klasik. And to be honest with you, after this deep dish discussion, you may have a change of heart in regards to how you viewed President Trump's really ungraceful criticism of Baltimore. Because the fact is, you know, he might be without grace when he said it, but he's kind of right. And so I think improvement begins when we're willing to listen to the hard criticisms. And so I hope you enjoy this deep dish discussion brought to you by all of our sponsors on patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. It's really a way for you to get involved in our movement. We definitely need your help. So please join us in our efforts to support conversations that lead to conversion. Just go to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds, and we'll be back in just a moment. And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for a special deep dish discussion. I'm sitting out looking over the water in Baltimore City, in beautiful Baltimore City Harbor East area, and I'm talking to Kim Klasik. Nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So, Kim, we all know you as the woman who put those videos out about Baltimore's West Side, nothing like where we are right now.
Correct.
Here it's clean and beautiful.
It is.
But President Trump called Baltimore, these are his words, a shithole. And that went out nationally, and everyone else jumped on board. And so you are, in a sense, responsible for all of this.
You make it sound so bad.
No, it's not bad, but it's actually quite good. So
yeah.
First of all, I want to just hear a little bit about that, because there's so much more to you than the videos.
Mm-hmm.
When did you post those videos and why?
Okay, so I began posting them on a Monday. So there was a Sunday morning talk show where Congressman Elijah Cummings went on TV and said that his constituents were afraid of President Trump. It was an ABC Sunday show.
Okay.
And I said, there's no way, right? Because I've been in and out of West Baltimore. I know he has constituents there. That's part of his district. I said, there's no way anyone there is thinking about President Trump. So I went into the neighborhood. I'm just kind of looking around. Of course, there's rows and rows, blocks and blocks of abandoned homes.
Oh, yeah.
And there were these two gentlemen sitting on a corner on one of the stoops of the abandoned home that I saw. And I just got out of the car and said, hey, can I ask you guys a couple questions? And the guy was like, sure, whatever, you know. And so I said, okay, well, Congressman Cummings said that his constituents are afraid of President Trump. Can I just get your reaction on that?
Okay, because you are not only a mom and a philanthropist, you're a stay-at-home, you're kind of an independent journalist.
Yes.
Did you study journalism in school?
I did not.
So this is just you as a citizen asking the questions.
Yeah.
And you're also concerned in a way.
Yeah.
You're involved in politics to a degree.
Right. Yes, to a degree, yep.
Okay, what is that degree, so I know?
So like a political commentator. So I've been doing that since about 2015.
Okay.
So I started out with One America News, and then I was on TV One. Roland Martin had his show on TV One.
Okay.
I would get beat up because I was the only conservative on the panel. And then I went from there, and people saw me at, like, you know, the Blaze TV. I would get on spots with Eric Bolling once he got there.
Sure.
And then Fox
News.
So
you're a conservative.
I am a conservative all the way.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yes.
Ultimately, because you don't necessarily fit the stereotype of conservatives,
which
we want to talk about eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So back to the story of you going and just talking to these two guys as an independent journalist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I go over, I ask them about Trump. They laugh. The one guy said, you know what, if you got time, I could show you what I'm really afraid of.
Really?
And so here I am, Miss, you know, Kimberly trusts everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you just talked to guys on the street corner. First of all, they didn't proposition you, they didn't hit on you.
Yeah, no.
But you just came up to them and asked them, what are you afraid of?
Yep, and he said, I can show you, it's two blocks down. So he jumps in my car.
And you go in, you let him in your car.
I did.
Who's your mama? Who talked to you about this stuff, young lady?
I know. It's awful. My husband was like, what did you do? So he got in my car, but I just felt like I really trusted these guys. He got in my car. The other guy stayed on the stoop, and he took me to an abandoned home next to the home he lived in.
Oh, my.
Yes. And he showed me a back alleyway, which was filled with trash. And he said, this has been sitting here since December 2018.
Oh, yeah.
He said, this is disgusting. It's attracting rats, all kind of rodents. We call the city. They don't come to clean it up. They give us confirmation numbers and said, we'll be there. No one comes. So then he takes me in the abandoned home. Here I am with a stranger, right?
Yeah,
in the
that's
home.
Which is kind of, I mean, I'm a little shocked for you.
Yeah, so we crawl into this little open space into the home. He said, and this is where a lot of the homeless addicts live.
Okay.
So there were a lot of empty needles and just all kinds of things. And in the home that he lived in were also children living there, because it was a home that was split up as three apartments, this row home that he lived in.
Okay.
And so I could just imagine me and my brothers as kids going in places, like homes that weren't finished, they were under construction,
sure,
just playing around.
Sure, there's a big difference with that and a rat-infested abandoned
exactly.
home.
But if you're a curious kid, you know, you might end up crawling in there. I don't know. So anyways, we go in, we take a look around. I have my video. I'm just shooting it. He then takes me to another street where he's showing me just blocks and blocks of abandoned homes. And then you'll see, like...
Now, was that surprising to you? You're not from Baltimore City, right?
I'm not from Baltimore City. I've been in and out of West Baltimore, but, like, certain locations. But I've never been in this particular neighborhood.
You've never been to the West Side, which was a glowing at one point. Neighborhood.
Yeah, Pennsylvania Avenue was huge. They just had the Billie Holiday
It's a big deal.
Parade.
And so you go there now, and are you a little shocked by it? And what are your reactions as an African-American woman seeing other African-American? By the way, can I just ask you a question? What do you prefer? Black woman, African-American woman?
It honestly doesn't matter. See, I usually just say black.
Okay, fine. So a black young woman.
I am not politically correct at all.
Yeah, but I mean, I just want to at least be respectful.
Yeah, no, and so, I appreciate it.
Look, I should ask you, how do you identify?
That's the real question.
So as a young black woman, strangely conservative, just because it is strange, is it not?
I guess so, yes. I mean, but if you met my dad, you would probably get it. You know, like, my mom is super liberal, but my dad was always an independent.
Okay.
And he was more of a conservative thinker, you know?
Yeah. And so you go back to Baltimore City and you see this. How do you feel about that?
I thought, OMG, right?
Yeah.
Because I've been here at Harbor East before, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, how could it be that there's the Harbor East area and then there's the West Baltimore area?
10 blocks away.
Yes. How is this happening? How are there two Baltimores side by side? So it didn't make any sense to me. And I thought, you know what? I bet a lot of the politicians, they probably wouldn't even take their dog through some of these neighborhoods, let alone want people to live in these conditions. And here you had Congressman Cummings on the news almost every day talking about the living conditions at the border.
Yes.
And I'm like, dude.
Oh, that's right. This is all coming about at the border.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is horrendous. And kids live here.
So I'm going to ask you, as an independent journalist, but also as a conservative, do you consider yourself as doing activism, or are you doing politicking, or, you know, to be respectful to Mr. Cummings, or are you just trolling him? What are you doing here?
No. So I know people say activism. I guess I always
How
identify
do you describe it?
Yeah. Activism with more of like a liberal thing, but I guess I'm just here trying to show people exactly what's going on in some of these politicians' backyard. Because I just don't take Elijah Cummings on. I also do Councilman Leon Pinkett. He's, you know, in that district.
Sure.
There's Councilman John Bullock. He's in the district right next
to
it.
Yeah, you know these local politicians
pretty well.
And why? Why is that?
Because I look into these things. I look into what they're actually promoting on that end, and then I also look at what they're not doing. So
okay.
If this is your district, but you're promoting all of these things in maybe Eric
National
Costello's
TV, sure.
You know, district in Fed Hill, yet your district, I don't know if you know, John Bullock, he is the councilman for Poe Homes. I don't know if you saw this story where they were without water for 8 days.
Yes, I heard of this. Yeah.
No one noticed for 4 days. And so that was actually my very first story. It wasn't the trash.
Got it.
My very first story was the water in Poe Homes.
So let me just ask you, is Baltimore a shithole?
I would say maybe half of it.
Yeah. And why?
You know, no one cares about it. I know they call it the forgotten neighborhoods, but it's really, it comes down to money, right? You don't go to West Baltimore. It's not a tourist attraction.
No.
You know, it's not a place where you've got a bunch of people that have money that are actually financing some of these campaigns. So you have, you know, people living in these situations. And on the back end, I don't know if you saw with the Freddie Gray riots or some people call it uprising.
Mm-hmm.
On the back end of that, there was a lot of federal grant money that went into Penn North Corridor because of the riots. Meanwhile, these neighborhoods still haven't seen that money.
So where do you think the money goes?
Well, I know it looks beautiful here at Harbor East.
Yes.
You know, I don't know where it goes. And so that's my big thing. That's what I'm trying to find out on. And that's why I have my YouTube channel. And I'm just
Tell us about your YouTube channel.
Yeah. So I am basically going around taking videos of situations or with people that tell me, hey, this is what were our concerns. We've actually voiced this to city council, the mayor, everyone else, but they still haven't done anything about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go on and I'll go online and I'll look and I'll say, wow, there was a federal grant of $23 million that was given to
That's
this
right.
neighborhood. So where the heck is it?
That's right.
You know, and so I feel like I can, I'm not going to.
So who are you asking for that? I mean, are you just kind of, because clearly the people who live in these very dire situations,
yeah.
and it is kind of like a third world.
It is.
It is a third
According
world.
According to Bernie Sanders, and he's been around a while, he probably knows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and then who was it? The Reverend, what's his name again? The Rhymer.
He's, oh, who's that?
I can't even remember, but he comes in to try to stoke the flame, so to speak.
Oh, and Reverend Al Sharpton?
Sharpton, yeah.
Oh, gosh,
yeah.
Yes. And, yeah. Go ahead. comment.
No, you can. I would love to hear your comment. I mean, because you put that out.
Yeah.
What was your desire when you put that out? Just to expose people or because it really spawned for, you know, Scott Pressler.
I know.
From The Persistence on Twitter to come with bags and volunteers.
Yeah.
And clean tons of trash that had been sitting there for 10 years.
Yeah. Yep. And there were actually newspapers that showed the date on them with President Obama winning his presidency.
Yeah.
In the trash, you know? So it's
ironic.
Years. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I really wanted, this is, when I first started this, I had 16,000 followers on Twitter, right?
Yes.
And people said to me, you know, can you get this out? Will somebody see it and the city come clean it up? Because we don't like living like this. And I said, you know what? I'll do my best.
So there is a question I've got to ask. Why don't they clean it up? Why can't people just clean up their own damn neighborhood? Because I live in Baltimore City and I'm constantly picking up trash.
Right.
Why do they have to throw it on the damn floor in the first place? Sorry to get angry.
No, it's good. It's fine. Some of this is, if you look at the trash, some of it is illegal dumping. So you look at some of the trash and you'll
Clearly.
See drywall, you'll see furniture,
see.
And there's a lot of things these people can't actually pick up. And so when Scott Pressler first went to come clean up, I said, I don't know, Scott. You know, I was like, I'm scared because I knew I was in there and you know, all the discarded needles. I was like, this might be a hazmat situation.
Oh, it seems like it.
Yeah. And he was like, okay, well, you know what? We'll do what we can outside. We won't go into the homes.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully, you know, we won't get hurt that way. Because I ended up getting bit by rat mites. I don't know if you saw that.
No. But now you just make me want to itch.
Yes. So I was on like a scabies wash. And then I was on a steroid pack. Rats carry mites.
I know.
I did not know this. And so when I was in the abandoned home, one of the homes I went through, you know, there was a lot of trees in there, so I got poisoned oak on one side, but then I got rat mites all over and under. And so I had to get scabies medication, and my husband
so
was joking,
but he was able to do a lot of cleaning up.
Oh yeah.
But even then, no one really from the government thanked him or even acknowledged him. They almost pretended
they
wasn't
up
even there.
12 tons of trash.
12 tons.
You know what's so crazy about it?
In a day.
City, yeah. The city denied them permits for the dumpsters.
Why?
Great question. But he did it anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they actually sent the denied letter the day after they cleaned up. And he was like, well, surprise, surprise, we already did it.
So this really speaks about the inefficiency of Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to ask you real quick. I mean, you lived in Maryland, but in a more, I don't want to say affluent, but it was a heck of a lot more organized in Baltimore City.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still a major city that you lived in.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you live kind of in the county.
Yes.
They have their own problems.
We do.
On the east side county.
We do.
What's the problems in Baltimore? I mean, like, you've been investigating this a lot longer, and I don't have any trouble naming any names. People think, you know, you're a priest, you shouldn't be political. I'm not being political.
Yeah.
I'm being virtuous. Yeah. I'm just trying to tell the freaking truth here.
Just as transparency.
Yeah. So what are the problems?
I think elected officials, and I have to say, a lot of them, if you look in the city area, a lot of them have been in these seats for years, for decades. And I think they get very comfortable. And some people, they don't, you know, believe this, but I actually enjoy AOC's, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I love her passion.
Sure.
And her, you know, willingness to get up and want to even tackle the issues. She may not be right. And
exactly.
You know, we might not agree, but that passion is there. And I think when you're sitting in office for so long, you lose that passion and you lose sight of what's going on. And I think in Baltimore, there's a culture of corruption. And it's probably so easy just to fall into that.
So this culture of corruption, when you say that there are a lot of people who have been in politics for a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you want to say to these politicians who have been in politics for a very long time? And they are experiencing corruption. What do you say to them?
I say, if you can, just step down. You know, let somebody get in there that can actually, that has passion now, that wants to do the job.
Oh, but they've got a lot of money invested in this.
I know. And that's the problem.
So how do you get them out? Because they are not going to step down.
You know what? We're going to have to just run a Republican against Congressman Cummings. And, you know, I've been talking to some people that are interested.
Or another Democrat.
It could be another Democrat.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell people all the time.
Because politics doesn't matter. It's about virtue and positions and policies.
But you know what I would love? A newbie. I would love a newbie.
And so somebody I'm going to ask you the question before we take a break.
Yeah.
Why aren't you going to run for some sort of council position?
I guess in my mind, I don't think I have all the answers. And I want the people to have someone to represent them that has a lot of answers.
Any ideas on who that might be?
I'm not sure.
Not yet. Well, listen, when we come back, we're going to ask you more questions about the city, some practical things about what we can do to clean this up, but then really get down into a story that I didn't know anything about you, because you have a little bit of a fascinating story. Why are you even involved in all this in the first place? I think it just goes to the heart of who you are. We'll be back with more Shoot the Shiitake and Kim Klasick when we return in just a moment. And we hope you're enjoying this deep dish discussion. And if you want to learn more about all that we do and perhaps even go on one of my trips or even book an event where you can not only hear the message but taste and see the goodness of the Lord, all you've got to do is sign up for the free weekly email blast. And for all other questions, just visit me at FatherLeoFeeds.com. That's FatherLeoFeeds.com, your source to feed you body, mind, and soul. And welcome back for this deep dish discussion. Kim Klasick, independent journalist, mom, conservative at heart, living in one of the most liberal cities in the United States, a black woman, but also uniquely a person who has a passion to try to fix things. And so I'm just going to ask you, what do you think we can do besides uncovering corruption? Because we know corruption already exists.
Yeah.
What do we do to fix the neighborhoods?
Yeah. So, you know, it goes beyond just cleaning them up and, and bringing dumpsters in. There's a lot of infrastructure problems. I think people even all over the city starting to see that with the sinkholes. I think there was one on Howard Street.
Huge sinkhole issues.
Yeah. So, you know, they've got sinkhole issues even in West Baltimore. You know, you just don't have the camera crews over there showing it, you know? And so they've got to tackle that issue. They have to tackle the crime.
Who are they? Tell me who these people are. Who are they?
The city council, the mayor,
but
you know?
They do nothing.
They do absolutely nothing. They go around. Right now they're talking about banning plastic bags. Which I understand they're trying to get nickel and dime people on the paper bag part of it, right? So this is, again, about bringing in money to the city, and I understand that's part of their job, right?
Sure.
How do you bring money into the city? But at the same time, when you have this level of crime and violence...
People aren't going to come to the city. It's called tourism.
Not.
It's called investing in local businesses.
No.
It's called investing so that these families who are living in these cities, in these hard parts, can actually feel like it's a neighborhood.
Right. I know so many people in the county that no longer come to the city just because they're afraid of the squeegee boys, you know?
It's almost the squeegee boys are annoying.
You're paying a tax to go through the city, right? You
that's
might as well just pay the toll.
Yeah, that's
and go all the way around through 95, right? At least your car won't get banged up that way.
Yes, that's very true.
So it's tough, and they have to be able to tackle these issues.
So let me ask you a hard question, because it has to do with culture more than it has to do with color.
Mm-hmm.
But people confuse the two.
All
and
the time.
I am on a rampage to be able to critique culture without being called a racist.
Yes.
What is it about the fact that Baltimore is, Baltimore City is majority African American, Black American, and the majority of the people in city council are? What's the problem here? You know, you can see how people are going to make these correlations.
Yes. So there's like an elitism thing going on. So
tell me.
Those in office, they're really middle class and above, right?
Okay.
And they all have like their crews and their little cliques. And I found this out by being a vendor in Baltimore City Schools, which I'll tell you about.
Yes, I would love to hear that.
But I found out about these little crews that kind of, they have like this bubble, right? And you don't, you're not really allowed in it unless you're part of the in crowd. And
this sounds like high school.
It is. It's a lot like high school. And, you know, of course, like anything else, you got to pay to play, right? So you got to be able to donate. So those that are kind of left on the outskirts that might be living in poverty or, you know.
They can't pay.
They can't pay
and
to
play. And they can't play,
No, so that's how they end up in these situations. But you think, you know, why isn't that, that city official who's also Black, why aren't they reaching out and trying to bring that person into the bubble? But that's the issue here. You get, and Senator Nate Oaks, I don't know if you saw his situation and how he ended up doing jail time, but there are actually lots of federal grants that you could apply for when you have a certain amount of individuals living in poverty.
Yep.
And I call them poverty pimps, okay?
Oh my gosh, I believe it. That's a great name for it.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, when you have this area and you have these situations, you can say to the federal government, look, we need help here. We need this money because we got to help lift these people out of poverty.
Okay, so tell me, lifting them out of poverty, what does that look like besides a handout? Because that's all we've gotten in Baltimore.
It looks like employment. But we don't have that. You know, if you go in West Baltimore, not only is there nowhere to work, I was in Easterwood yesterday and I did a video yesterday. They don't even have a grocery store.
I know.
The one store that they had was burned down during the 2015 riots.
Yeah.
There were
There's no elements of civilization in these depressed parts of Baltimore.
So how do you expect people to live in a civilized manner when they're not?
So you just encourage local businesses.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. It's awful. But, you know, the crime and violence, that plays a factor.
See, now, but how did you get so involved in Baltimore City? You're not from here, girl. Where are you?
That's what everybody says. Oh, she's just coming over here.
Exactly.
And sticking her nose in.
A little conservative self with her, and I'm just going to say it too, with like her refined ways. You've been criticized for being all refined.
I've been criticized, but you know what? It's probably my whole life I've been criticized. But, you know, to my parents...
But you're not a victim.
No, not at all. To my parents, that was very important. You carry yourself in a professional manner.
Sure.
You know, the whole thing was you never know where you might meet your next employer.
Sure.
Right? And so if you carry yourself professionally...
Or your next hire.
Exactly.
And people work for you.
Right. You carry yourself professionally at all times. And so, you know, I started working with the Baltimore City School System in 2014.
Okay.
And this is after I started my nonprofit, trying to help girls with prom, things
and
like that.
And we're going to kind of end with all of that because it's very touching.
Yeah, thank you.
So you worked in Baltimore City, though, so you do have some connection. What was your experience of working in Baltimore City, coming from the county?
Yeah.
Was it a shocker?
It was shocked. First of all, in Baltimore City, you don't get paid very well here compared to the work that you could be, the same work that you would be doing in D.C. or some other
hospitality,
place.
Hospitality. What was your, right, work was hospitality?
Hospitality, yes, exactly. And so there's already that part of it, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I was working with the city schools, and I just kept getting the pushback and the push around.
What were you doing for the city schools?
So I would come in, and I was like the professional teacher. You know, soft skills. So I would come in and they would give me these groups of girls and we would meet for their lunch break. I would bring them food, drinks. We would have, you know, girl talk, chit chat. But then we would also talk about what it means to be professional at all times, how to carry yourself, how to dress
Who
for certain
occasions.
Who brought
you in for that? Because that doesn't sound normal in Baltimore. Because let me tell you, we're rough. Baltimore is rough. Girls are just as angry and vicious and ugly.
Oh, yeah.
There's an ugliness to the way people are comporting themselves these days.
Absolutely.
So how'd you get here?
Yeah. So once I started working with girls doing the prom program, I noticed that a lot of the girls could probably use some help in refining them, you know?
Absolutely.
So I went to a Baltimore City School public meeting. You know, they have them on Tuesdays once a month. And I just went in and say, hey, you know, I have this nonprofit. I do have a 501c3. I was wondering if I could come in to the city schools and just teach some of these girls, you know, just kind of what my mom taught me, you know? And a lot of times you don't have that at home.
So now let's talk about this nonprofit, because I think it has to do ultimately with the point of this conversation. It's about dignity.
Yeah.
Living in dignity.
Yeah.
As a person, for goodness sakes, you know, people don't live dignified anymore, but you do. Tell me why.
Like I said, growing up, my parents are always about, you know, being confident with who you are, right? So when I was 15 years old.
Confident is not cocky, though.
No.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, you can't. There's a difference between confident and arrogant.
Yeah. Okay, good. Just want to make sure, listeners, so you know, please be confident. Don't be a douchebag.
Exactly.
Please don't be,
entitled. Yes. Oh, that's a great word there, yeah.
But that's what a lot of people think. Just because, like,
are.
I can think it, I'm going to get it. No, no, you got to work for it.
Yeah.
But that's another story.
Yeah.
So your parents had a great you were raised with great upbringing.
Yes, and I feel so blessed for that.
Good for you.
Because I know not everybody has that.
Nope.
And so I thought, you know what, since I know people, not everyone has it, I thought maybe I can do something on my end.
But why, though? Because most people who grow up in privileged households don't always care about others. Let's just admit that's a case.
Yeah. That is true. That is true. So when I was 15 years old, you know, going through puberty, a teenager, I lost actually all of my hair to alopecia.
And unbelievable.
So if you can imagine being in 10th grade and your hair just falling out in globs. And this is before, you know, lace fronts and the fake hair thing. And so, you know, I would go to school. My mom would take me to the hair store. And there was, like, the wigs that your grandmother might have wore to church. And so that's what I had. And so I would go to school, and I would tease relentlessly, you know. Black culture, hair was huge. It's still huge.
I'm learning that.
And it's actually, it makes no difference. But for some reason, we put so much emphasis on it. And so I would be just in my room all the time. I didn't want to make friends. I didn't want to do anything. I read books all the time. I was like, I don't want to go outside. I don't want anyone to ask about my hair.
No, you're depressed, I mean, because you don't have hair, for goodness sakes.
Exactly. And for me, as a black woman, I thought it was so important. I had no idea it wasn't that important.
I have to admit, it is important.
Yeah. Well, confidence-wise, yes. But it's not as important as I think
as who you are.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because, like, you could have hair and still be a horrible person.
Yes. That is true. That is true. And so I thought, what if there are some young girls going through the same situation I was going through who just doesn't see the light at the end of the tunnel? You know, maybe I can try to help that young girl, even if it's like two or three girls. Maybe I can help them feel confident enough to just go and be who they want to be. So quickly, I went to an HBCU, Bowie State University, after high school.
Sure.
The girls were so mean and it was so bad, I dropped out my first year.
Wow.
And I ended up going back home. And my dad was like, now what? My mom's like, oh, no, no, no. We go to college in this house. You know, so I went to the community college down the street. I didn't want to be there. I mean, it was awful. And that's how I ended up doing the hospitality work from there.
Okay.
But I thought, you know what? If I didn't have that issue, or if I didn't let those girls get in my head, I probably would have stayed in college.
Yeah.
I could have gotten that education, you know, and I kind of regret that in a way.
Hmm.
And so I said, okay, maybe there's a young lady going through a traumatic situation that just needs someone to say, guess what? You can get through it. It's 4 years.
You're talking about a big sister.
Yeah. Just push it. Yeah, exactly.
Did you have a big sister?
No, I had a house full of brothers.
Okay. They're not going to care about your hair.
No, they were like,
but hopefully
what do
they
mean?
Cared about you.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah. You felt at least protected by them.
Oh, yes.
Good for you.
Yeah, so, you know, and so I said, okay, I just want to help out. And that's how it all began.
And what began your nonprofit?
So my nonprofit, Potential Me. I still have it.
PotentialMe.com?
Potential-me.com.
Potential-me.com.
Yep.
Kim Klasick's nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And it does what?
So at first, we would take in donated dresses because we just wanted to help with the prom experience. And mm-hmm. these are young girls that had great grades, good attendance, going off to school, but they couldn't afford to go to prom. And I wanted them to be able to have that experience.
How much is prom?
That confident moment. Say it again.
How much is prom?
So we did $500 per recipient.
Oh my God. So like, I don't remember paying that much when I went to prom.
Now,
I was back in the 80s. Yes, I'm that old, people. So, you know, prom can be expensive, and it's mm-hmm. almost like a quinceañera. It's almost like a coming out party in a way for many people. So your nonprofit supports young women who can't afford going to a prom. What do you do?
Yeah. So we try to get dresses for them donated. They were like, oh gosh, this is from 1982, Miss Kim, we can't do this. So I actually took the dresses, sold them on eBay, and then that's how we made the money to be able to take them shopping.
Nice.
We had the prom send-off party. This, you know, we had the red carpet, the limo. I mean, it was crazy. Like, the entire block was outside.
So, but they have to have...
good grades, good attendance.
Good grades. Okay, so you...
Yes.
You didn't just give anything out,
in other words.
No, you were
working. You got to be a hard-working girl.
But did they... How about their date? How about their date?
You know what's so funny?
What?
All of the girls that I actually helped, their dates were like a cousin or a friend, a girlfriend. Like, they didn't even want the whole date situation.
They just wanted to go.
They were
and
like,
go
the guys at our school are terrible.
Well,
like,
they probably are.
I hear that all the time.
They probably are. Maybe there needs to be a male component that teaches men how to be gentlemen.
Yes.
How to be dignified young men. And is that not true in the Black African American community?
It's so true. It's so true.
Girl, you got work to do. You got to find some guy to take your... You got to have a male counterpart.
I know, right?
So you took these girls out on our prom.
Yes. And so this is how it kind of changed in a way. So the one prom send-off party I went to, this young girl, great girl, she went off to Eastern Shore. Her mom, I come in, they have lawn chairs. The electricity was, you know, just came back on.
Sure.
It hadn't been working. And she goes, I wish I could offer you something to eat, but I just can't afford it.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, it's cool. Let's order pizza, you know? And so I said, you could have just told me. Don't ever feel like you can't tell me something.
Yeah.
And so the mom said, you know, Kim, I would love to get back to work, but I just don't know how. And so what I did is I was like, all right, well, what have you done, right? So I put together a resume for her. And I said, okay, so now we just need some suits and some career wear. We're going to get you some job interviews. We did that. People donated more stuff. Some of that stuff we sold on eBay. So I took her shopping, got her makeup. We got her a nice wig, everything. And she ended up getting the job. You know, she
that
went back
beautiful.
Into like...
So you literally are just helping people one person at a time.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I was very interested in reaching out to you, and I know you're probably shocked. What does this priest want?
No, I never say that.
No, well, but this idea of just trying to help a neighborhood, and you did. You helped initiate Scott Pressler to come to Baltimore.
Oh,
he's making a second return to just clean up more tons of trash. Our representatives have done nothing, and we're coming from a young woman who really did face hardship. Because you lost your hair, but you did not lose your mind.
Right, yeah.
And more importantly, you gained your soul.
Yeah.
This kind of suffering almost helped you.
It did. It did. Because I would think about that. I was like, what if I didn't lose my hair? You know, what if, because my dream was to be a journalist. That's what I wanted to do after school.
And you are. Interesting.
Weird, right?
And you don't have to pay the bills for college.
Exactly.
It's like, I must well tell people.
I know. I like, look, Mom, I'm on Fox News and we didn't pay for it. You know? So I think, like, what would I have been had I not gone through this? You know, I think I like the person that I am now.
Absolutely.
And I think my experiences in life has made me who I am. And that's what I tell these young girls. I'm like, you never
so
know.
So what is your kind of ultimate message? I mean, you've got a nonprofit and you are making a difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. You're bringing out the beauty in people and in their city.
Yeah.
So what do you think your message is to anybody, especially my listeners?
Yeah, just never give up. I know it sounds cliche, but if you do the right thing, usually it works out well. You
sure.
know, there was lots of days where I would sit at home crying, thinking, what am I going to do? You know, there were days where we had prom recipients and I couldn't find the size of a dress that this girl needed. And it's in a couple of days and I'm like, oh my gosh. And it would always just work out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
just
I'm a
trying.
Firm believer in
yeah.
God, and I'm a firm believer that it'll happen and your time will come when it's supposed to come.
Sure.
It took a long time for my time to come, but you know what? I'm glad that it did. And I'm glad I am where I am today.
I love it. And final question is, you know, I'm a Catholic priest. This is our first time meeting. It really was a pleasure to have this conversation with you. But what can I do to help you?
Well, I think it's great that you're even just interviewing me today. I mean, just getting the word out. And a lot of people haven't asked me about me. You know, what else do I do? I know about the nonprofit. And so I think, you know, just being able to get the word out and just keeping an eye, you know, if I ever have something going on, if I could come to you and say, hey, you know, this is what we're trying to do.
Mm.
I would love to come back on your podcast.
I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, Kim Klasik, mom, independent journalist, but more importantly, an instrument of dignity. That's kind of how I'm going to remember this conversation when I come back. I'm going to give you my carryout order. What did I learn from this very, very entrepreneurial and energetic young woman when we return in just a moment? And welcome back to Shoot the Shiitake with me, Father Leo, for my carryout order after having talked with Kimberly Klasik. You know, we joked around because I don't know what her middle name is, but it begins with the letter K. And so when she was signing my release form, everyone commented that, you know, she had the initials KKK. And it's just ironic. You know what else is ironic? What I learned from her was that she was more than that political lightning rod in the Baltimore City area that people kind of attributed to her. She actually is a very beautiful person with a beautiful soul, with a beautiful story, and it all came from a beautiful experience of having a happy home life. Now, she isn't raised in the Baltimore City. She was not raised in the Baltimore City area, but she has made Baltimore and the next adjoining county, Baltimore City, the east side county to Baltimore, kind of her home because of a marriage, you know. And I learned a little bit about her family. She is not married to a black African American, but, you know, a European descendant guy. You know, they have a child together, but she also became an adopted mom of her husband's former previous marriage with, I think, 4 or 5 other children. So, you know, she's not just simply speaking out of politics, but really as a compassionate person who wants the best for her family in this city, which is really a great city. You know, and oftentimes when I travel around the world, and I do, and people ask where am I from, they, for whatever reason, they always confuse me. They always think that I'm either from Boston, because maybe of the letter B, Baltimore and Boston. They sometimes think I'm from New York, and it might be because I might have a little bit of Subway New York attitude, who knows? But they also confuse me with coming from the West Coast, California. And I got to tell you, I love California, but I can't stand their politics. You know, I love a lot of things about California, but the politics has just become unrelentlessly socialist. And that's unfortunately where I think Baltimore is heading because of policies by corrupt government members who are elected simply because people don't really know who they are or what they've done. And they get entrenched. They become literally like the furniture and the fabric of Baltimore. And I'm sorry, I am tired of trying to find politicians who have actually done something with their life. You know, they don't get elected because they might not have the same skin, the proper skin color, or be part of the
what they think is the established political party. And it just creates a cliquishness that is beyond me. But politics aside, what I loved in this conversation, my carryout order, is that we've got to really kind of get to know people for who they are. I will disagree with a lot of people, but as you can tell on this show, I'm trying to just get to know people for who they are. And Kimberly, she mentioned how she appreciated a conversation about who she was and her incredible nonprofit group, you know, to support young women in high school who may not have the funds or the finances to go on their prom. And so her nonprofit takes care of that for her. For that child. But it's not a handout, because Kimberly mentioned that they have to have good grades. So it's not a handout, but it's really a hand up for these young women who want to work hard, you know, and at the same time have that quote unquote typical experience of being in high school. Good for her. And it all came from her own struggles with alopecia and how her hair fell out when she was in high school. Really some amazing stuff. But, you know, the other thing that I took away from this conversation was how ironic she was. She was a black woman who was not a liberal Democrat, and she actually really likes Trump. And whether you like him or not, you kind of can't call Trump a racist if she, being a black woman, doesn't consider him a racist. You know, I think that that word is getting thrown around so much, and it really shows that her background, coming from a loving family and really disciplined to be educated, she's able to discern through all of the hashtag fake news that is out there. Now, again, I am no Trumpian. I am no supporter of one party or the other. I'm looking for policies that matter. And what I think Kim has done is she's actually focused on those politicians who say that they care, but what they've done didn't really matter to their constituents. So many people living in Baltimore who have representatives who they elect because they don't really perhaps know of other alternatives, and they just get elected de facto. And so this interview came after the heels of Scott Pressler, who is an activist, a Republican activist, who actually cleaned up over 12 tons of garbage in Baltimore City, even though the city tried to deny him a permit for dumpsters to come and clean it up. You know, and it just shows that it doesn't take politicians to do the work of the people. It takes people to do work for the people. And if there's a carryout order for me, it is, you know, as a Catholic priest, while I cannot get involved in politics in very specific ways, I can get involved in conversations about politics, because guess that's what politics do. It requires conversation, and hopefully conversations that lead to conversion. And just so that you know, I have invited people who absolutely hate Trump to come onto my show, but none of them have actually ever wanted to do that. I mean, I just want to let you know, if you hate Trump and hate Republicans and hate conservatives, I would love to invite you on my show. But you can't just get out here and just start spouting out how much you hate him and how much he's a racist, because even black people, civil rights leaders, have said Trump is not a racist. So I don't want you just to simply get on my show and push a narrative that you can't prove, especially since the fake news about that has been the proof that he's not a racist. He's not elegant, I could tell you that much. And he might even be kind of boisterous and arrogant, you name it. But I'm tired of just having to invite people who may disagree with Trump and they just don't want to come on my show. Now, granted, I don't have a huge audience and I'm not going to like be able to pay people, but I'm willing to have that conversation, because conversations lead to conversion. And I got to tell you, my conversation with Kim Klasick has made me turn to her as a potential leader in Baltimore City. That is my carry out order, brought to you by all of the people who support us on Patreon. When I say all of the people, it's not like we have millions. We don't even have hundreds. We have a couple dozen people who support our efforts so that thousands of other people can listen to this show for free. And so they will get extra content sent to them. They will get access to other Patreon tier benefits. And so I would just encourage you to just get involved in what I do at Shoot the Shiitake and Plating Grace by going to platinggrace.com or patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. That was a lot, so let me just rephrase it again. If you just want to support us, go to my website, FatherLeoFeeds.com, or go to patreon.com/FatherLeoFeeds. Either way, I'm just glad to have had this conversation, and I hope you enjoyed it too. And between now and the next time we shoot the shiitake, stay hungry.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.